Podcasting 2.0 for July 30th, 2021, episode 48. We're checking out a Heartbreak Hotel. Cryptic as ever, right? Hey, everybody. It is Friday once again, time for a meeting of the board of Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on at podcastindex.org and podcastindex.social. I am Adam Curry in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, my peaceful port in a stormy sea of media madness, my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
I've got to get my stuff ready for podcast movement, man. I got to figure out how I'm going to podcast from there.
Yeah, when are you going? You're driving, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going, I think this is on the 3rd. We're going to drive up on the 3rd, I believe, is what our plan is.
Okay.
And then come back on Friday night, I think. So I've got a podcast from the hotel room.
Yeah. Well, bring your gear, man. It should be easy. So you're not leaving until Saturday?
A decent connection.
So you're leaving Saturday or Friday?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
one of those.
Well, you have to get a late checkout if it's Friday. Believe me, I have experience with with podcasting from hotel rooms.
Okay. Late.
You're checking it out now. Yeah, of course.
I'm writing this down.
Show prep be damned.
Late check.
Yeah. I was going to open the door for everybody while you're just messing around. Make sure everybody can come in here. Hey, everybody, come on in. Grab your seat.
Y'all sit down. I'm just typing.
Hey, man, I woke up this morning and I had a million things in my head.
That's a normal occurrence for you, though.
Yeah. Well, it was a real day of clarity. Now, I got up really early because I also had to do an interview for Sirius XM 106 volume. And their morning show is Nick Carter, formerly of Backstreet Boys. And I think normally he has Lori Majewski on, who is very, very accomplished in music journalism. She started Spin Magazine, and then she was executive editor at a whole bunch of other places. She wasn't there today. But also Rob Tannenbaum, who wrote the book Oral History of MTV. And it was fantastic. So I'm good to go because we had a call yesterday, you, me, Eric, and Tina, about the website and launching and, you know, our real marketing communication strategies. And one of the most complicated things we discussed, which, you know, we were like, okay, we're going to do it this way. But I think these calls are really good because it gets the juices flowing for everybody. And you look at it the next day, it's like, okay, hold on a sec. And it was mainly the podcaster part. You know, we all know that we want people to be driven, the listeners who either go to newpodcastapps.com or find their way through the new path. We want to get them to the apps. We want them to try out a new podcast app. And then for the podcasters, you know, podcasting 2.0 in the lexicon right now, in general, it means value for value streaming payments. Whenever you hear someone say, yeah, podcasting 2.0, that's that Bitcoin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we've really focused an enormous amount of energy, in particular you, and the app developers on the namespace features.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I came to the realization yesterday that, well, I'll take you down a path of a few clips that I got. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Is the board okay with that?
I don't hear any negative feedback. We're good.
I think we're good.
Jim's asleep.
Well, so I want to talk about just these two things for people who may be new listening to the Podcasting 2.0 board meeting, value for value and the model itself and the streaming payments. And then we'll get into some of the ideas I had about what we want to communicate to podcasters and how we onboard people. So the first thing, these are clips that I'm so happy I found, I've been collecting them throughout the week, is kind of proof that my concept of what cancel culture is and where it comes from is in fact correct. And I've always said it's based on advertising. Advertising is censorship. And why is that? It's because advertisers do not want to be anywhere near controversy, which is the biggest problem for podcast advertising. And when it comes to cancel culture, advertising is leveraged against somebody, as an advertising is usually someone's lifeblood. It's how, you know, it's how they, you know, how they're making money with the product they're creating. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to say, hey, you know, hey, Mr. Advertiser, do you know this guy says this about those people, or he's a racist, whatever you want to say. And it works. It's very, very effective. And the proof of this, which
and we get those emails on a regular basis.
Yes, we get emails from people. I mean, I even talked about that on Joe Rogan. It was hilarious. Said someone wanted to take down Tim Dillon because he's anti-gay. And Tim Dillon is gay. So, you know, it's like these crazy types of things. And he's very open about it, by the way. So I want to start off by solidifying that that statement. That's where cancel culture comes from at its root, with a clip from the Sway podcast. This is Kara Swisher. Now, despite that I hate listening to her other podcast, Pivot, with Professor Scott Galloway, which is also a valid listen, of course, I really do like when she interviews people, particularly in technology. And she had on Sridhar...
Yes, Sway is the New York Times one, right?
Yes, it's from New York Times, exactly.
Okay.
And she had on Sridhar Ramaswamy, and he is the CEO and co-founder of Neva. And Neva is this search engine which does not monetize you. You pay them $4.95 a month, and it's as good as Google. Surprise, surprise, the people who started it are ex-Google guys. And so they've decided that advertising and selling your data, but I'll just keep it advertising for a moment, is not the way forward for them, and they believe there's a different future. I personally like that idea, and it all comes down to trust, of course. But his explanation of why he started this and what he felt about advertising inside Google really, and he was chief revenue officer, so that he was, you know, C-suite level. He was the guy in charge of the money coming in, and here's his thoughts on the matter.
So you left shortly after the 2017 controversy where YouTube videos of exploited children were running alongside ads. Was there something that happened? Is the timing a coincidence, or did that inspire your exit? Did you just go, enough of this, I'm making nuclear weapons and I don't want to, or whatever? You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that have those moments. Was there a moment for you?
For me, 100%. Those were the things that, first of all, convinced me that I didn't want to work on ads anymore. When we did ads on Google search, or even when I was running the display ad ecosystem, we were very clear that being able to run ads on these platforms was a privilege. For example, we had a controversy around substance abuse treatments where Google search, you know, wasn't able to tell who good players versus not so good players was. We just withdrew from the area and said, we need to figure this out. We're just not going to show any ads. And search was big enough and powerful enough that we could make a decision like this and actually move forward without a massive controversy. What was foundationally different about the YouTube ecosystem was the role that creators played. For the longest time, YouTube took this attitude of you should be able to say whatever you felt like on YouTube. It was an open platform. So they gave the illusion, like a lot of social media platforms do, that content expression on them was akin to free speech, that literally anyone could say anything. They didn't really see a platform responsibility for themselves. And so what ended up happening was YouTube leadership was caught between a rock and a hard position, where they had a set of very vocal creators that genuinely believed that putting up content on YouTube, that getting the content monetized, was something like a free speech right. Mm-hmm. And I was dumbfounded by this. I was like, really? Like, your ability to monetize content on a platform is akin to the government guaranteeing free speech for you. But that's the world that Google existed in. This may change very hard. We had a set of advertisers that said, I want no part of being next to bad content on YouTube. And they had a set of creators that went, what do you mean we can't say whatever we feel like? Just because you find it objectionable, should we not be able to say it? It became an impossible problem to solve. And that was part of the conflict for advertising, because we were seen as supporting all kinds of actors, some of whom were very disreputable. To be the head of the team that was supporting monetization was just not something that I was comfortable with. That, combined with the fact that I had been there for 15 years, just made me say, okay, time to press the reset button, time to start over.
There you go.
Very, very, very interesting.
Isn't that dynamite?
That I mean, I'm just going to say that that validates everything that you've been saying for the last 10 years.
Yes. Thank you.
In that one clip.
Yeah. And I love that he said rock in a hard position.
Yeah.
Instead of rock in a hard place.
Yeah. Well, that's just, so that brings me to the, I have a clip.
Oh, you're going to, this is dynamic clip insertion into my stream. I love it. All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm going to DAI your DAI right here. So this is face. I think it's called, I did not print my clip list, so I'm going off pure memory here. I think it's called Facebook Authority.
Yeah, authoritative info.
Yeah.
Got it.
Facebook said the president was wrong. In a statement, the company said, quote, more than 2 billion people have viewed authoritative information from Facebook about COVID and vaccines.
So the reason I want to play that clip real quick, and I want to break your flow, but the key part of that was not true information. Authoritative information.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a big difference between the two, for sure.
And that's all that matters, is that it's authoritative, because if it comes from a government or a authority, it doesn't matter if it's true. It just matters that it came from them, because that gives the CYA.
Yep. Exactly.
Anyway, I just want to throw that in there.
So this is the problem that we've been struggling with. And I love that he just said right up there, he said, hey, Google didn't care really what you said until the advertisers complained. So that's right. And of course, that became leveraged by political actors, and that's just been going on forever. So back to the value for value model. Yesterday on episode, I don't have it here. Oh, yes. 1689 of the Joe Rogan Experience. He had on the comedian Yiannis Pappas. And they were talking about cancel culture. Joe's very big on talking about cancel culture. And kind of unknowingly, without saying it, he explained a version of the value for value model. And here's a minute of that conversation.
I think Adam Curry has a similar situation, right? He allows you could pay whatever you want, isn't it? I think Adam's is free. Is it free, or is it you could pay whatever you want? I think you can pay whatever you want. And some people pay a dollar, and some people pay you a lot of money.
Yeah.
They just say, this is a great show, I want to support it. You know?
Yeah.
It's, there's some purity to that, you know?
Big time.
There really is. It's a nice business model where you have like a real, like Adam in particular has a real relationship with his fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it works out.
Yeah.
Like everybody agrees. You know, and he does not waver, mm-hmm. and he does not censor himself. He's always telling you fucking the straight dope, no matter what or how uncomfortable or how weird the conversation is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that model's pure, straight to the fans. No middleman, no corporate, you know, ethics office or whatever. And people crave that. People want that. And that's why the success of that model is the success that it is, because people want it.
So the only thing I don't agree with is, it's not that I have a great relationship with my fans. They're not fans. They are producers. And I have always communicated. This is what radio figured out a long time ago. You need phone lines, people calling in, or you need location. And any podcast that does stuff on location automatically goes up in the rankings. It's the connection between those two. And so that while they didn't specifically talk about value for value, you can see they understand that something's working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then yesterday I was listening to the new media show, and something beautiful happened. Something beautiful happened between Todd from Blueberry and Rob from Libsyn. And it was right at the top of the show. It was very important to them. This must come out Wednesday, I guess, the show. Is that when they publish?
Yeah, it's midweek, so it's right before Podland, and I'm behind on my list.
Oh, it's okay.
But lots of beautiful things happen on the new media
show. Oh, yeah. Well, yes, you're right. The new media show is just one big ball of beauty.
It is.
They'll clip that. Okay. So it's the top of the show. This is important to them, and the following happens.
We had a shocker today. I had a Yes, we did.
And I've actually got an email. I had a PayPal payment hit the inbox that kind of like, I thought it had something to do with Podcast Awards, but then when I looked at it, it was the New Media Show. So all I can say, and the person, I think they want to stay. Let me just read this first. It was significant. I'll just tell the audience that. It says, hey, Todd and Rob.
So this is a big deal to him, right?
So it's significant. He means significant amount of money?
I think that's the point. Okay. Yeah, right. There's more to it.
Sorry, Rob, I don't have your email. That's what's in the email. He says, I just want to follow up on our donation today with a note to both of you to say thanks for all you do. We don't have a PhD in podcasting yet, but we're getting there in no small part to the efforts you make, as well as the lessons and information you two share with the rest of us every week. This donation is made in a spirit of appreciation and part of the efforts you make, as well as the lessons, information you two. This donation is made in spirit of appreciation and gratitude. So please don't share or feel the need to say thanks. We're going to anyway, as it represents a demonstration of value we've already gotten from the two of you. We've participated. We're particularly grateful to your defense and advocacy of the RSS as a cornerstone of podcasting. Of course.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt for a second. Okay. So we know exactly who this is, because these two gentlemen, it could be two or four gentlemen, and they have supported this show as well, and we know how much they support. And I know, because that's why Todd is like, this is significant. We don't have to mention who it is, but I think you know who it is, right?
I've got it down to at least one of three people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, true.
But I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
And the word value. Is used here. We'll continue.
We are also tied to that ideal in many ways, but you too have carried the flag for many years when the rest of us could not, and we just want to acknowledge that in a way we hope is beneficial to you and the cause of the New Media Show. Thanks for all you do. And I won't say who sent the donations, but it was from two individuals at a company, and we do appreciate their contribution significantly. I told Rob, I said, I need your PayPal because I got to send you your portion of this. And if it had been like $50, we'd have just thrown it on a bill or something. But no, this was much bigger. So thank you. Yeah, really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the support. I think this is the first time that such a thing has happened.
That's right. We've gotten some donations over the years, $25, $50, but wow. This one would pay a bill.
Okay. So we've established...
Yeah, I know exactly who that is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we've established that this is amazing. Value for value was just given to them in an amount so vast that he's excited about splitting it up with Rob. And at this point, at the top of the show, you could say, hey, if you want to support the show, go to the homepage. There's the PayPal link and send us some value. Mm-hmm. And off this one donation alone, they can double or triple this in the next, over the next few weeks. And so I'm like, holy crap, this is so beautiful. This is the exciting part of value for value, is when someone gives you a value that exceeds your expectations, but it's what they value your work at, is exactly the beauty. But then the next second, this happens.
So,
hey Todd, on a little bit of this theme, we were both on a call earlier today, talking about our session that's coming up at Podcast Movement. So we had the guests that we're going to have at the live on stage event that's going to be streamed to virtual ticket holders for Podcast Movement. And we were talking a lot about advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a very interesting subject. And I just wanted to raise it to you, Todd. Do you think this show should submit to accept advertising?
Ooh.
What's your thought?
I don't know.
It's just something to throw out there, right?
Who are we going to advertise for? Are we going to advertise for other podcast companies? Or I don't think our employers would like that so much.
Kind of shavers, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe glasses.
Could be, but I'm not giving up my Oakley. Sorry. I'm not.
I mean, if we're going to be, you know, kind of selling out and everybody else is selling out, what's stopping us, right?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No!
I mean, I think it's an interesting question to explore for this show. I think we've been doing it a long time, and maybe there's a couple of sponsors that might be complimentary to the show and the audience here. Yep. And who knows?
No. They're right on the edge. They're right on the edge
and they get pulled back into the abyss.
Oh,
so they're literally splitting up the value for value money. And the next thing they think, and this is nothing against Todd and Rob personally. Of course not. I appreciate both of these guys. It's nothing against them personally. It's what happens. Oh, advertising. I won't have to do any shit. I won't have to ask for any, whatever it is, the process that goes on in your head. You're right. They were right there on the edge. And then the black hole started the gravity of hell down through the Earth's navel was just pulling them back in. I was like, no.
It's painful to hear.
Whereas they have a sure $500 for next week if they just continued on that first donation. Yeah. For sure. I would have given them $500.
That's the thing that people don't understand about value for value is when part of the mechanism of value for value is other people set the tone for what the value is.
Yes.
And so when a donation comes in, it gives everybody else a signal that there is a value here, number one, and then number two, it's at a certain level. And so then they can place themselves on the spectrum somewhere in that level according to what the other people. So that's why you were talking earlier about bouncing it off, you know, yes. Saying, okay, here's a donation. If you value this as well, you know, find out what it's valued to you. Well, they're going to place themselves on something. Let's just say if this donation was $1,000, they're going to place themselves somewhere between, let's just say $5 and $1,000. And that, I mean, they could be anywhere on that spectrum, depending on who they are. If they're loaded, they may be above that spectrum and they're like, I love open podcast RSS. I'm going to, you know, donate $2,500. But if they, you know, if they're just a listener that it's have of modest means, they may $20. But you miss your opportunity to get your listeners into their head to start thinking of your product as valuable.
Yeah. And as Tina the Keeper says, a semi-retired chief communications officer, the number one reason people don't give to any cause is because they're not asked. They're not asked. It's that simple.
Is that what it says on her LinkedIn? Semi-retired communications officer?
No. I tell her she's semi-retired and she should be enjoying it more. Excuse me. So, now when it comes to value for value with the streaming payments, you know, we had two promises when we started off podcasting 2.0. One was independent index. That so your content is not deplatformable from everywhere and just a resource for app developers. And the second promise was we were going to make, well, we didn't call it immutable payment, but we said we need to turn it into a platform of value so everybody can participate in the value. And that's how we came up with the value block and the splits, et cetera, so that app developers and anyone else, you know, this show itself, Dreb Scott is on the split with 5%. He gets it for doing the chapters. You know, and mm-hmm. And so that was part of the idea. And I think kind of the initial strategy that we had is, well, look, we need a namespace for this. And there's a couple of things out here that people would like in a namespace, such as transcripts and chapters. I think transcripts was one. Was that Buzzsprout who already had that working?
Yeah, they already had that one.
Mm-hmm. And so wasn't that the first thing we put in?
Lock tag, right. In transcript.
Right. And the lock tag was implemented pretty quickly by most. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But so last night, not a single hosting company has implemented the value for value block. Not a single one. And that's okay. Everyone's all excited about all the features, and I love them. I love our apps. They're differentiated because of the capabilities they have. But the podcast hosts, we're now almost a year later, episode 48, and it's quite dismal what has been implemented. And I'm not, this is not for everybody, obviously. We have some real leaders in the space. And we have a lot of people who have time to integrate with other services, with, you know, do special things with Spotify subscriptions or integrate with Cuban's fire chat side thing. I'm saying it expressly that way because the only fire side I know is Dan. The fire chat side thing. But they have no time to implement even the value for value block or anything. And that's fine because I can't make decisions for them. We can only control what we can control. And this is where I'm kind of starting to bring it around to who are we really marketing to? And we were talking about all the features and I thought, you know, we don't control the features. You can tell people go to Buzzsprout and you'll get this much, go to RSS.com, you get this much, et cetera, you know, Fireside, et cetera. But we don't really control it, and no one has all of the features, and most have a select few, and none of them have the value for value block. So we've done a good job at creating some excitement around new features and definitely new podcast app experiences. Really phenomenal. But we have to move forward with what I think is the value for value proposition. If you ask people, what is podcasting 2.0? Value for value typically comes up, whether it's and it's always in context of streaming. That's just the people who ask me stuff on Twitter, and that's what the conversation is. I have no official survey.
Yeah, there's a group of people that think when they think podcast index or podcast, you know, named podcasting 2.0, if they think of one of those things, there's a section of people that think streaming Bitcoin payments. Value for value, and then there's a second set of people that think namespace features and apps.
Well,
so there's like an overlap there. There's some kind of Venn diagram there. But
yes,
but,
you're right. There is a Venn diagram, and it's the hosting companies.
Right,
hosting companies are features. App guys got their feet wet, and gals. I wish we had some gals. App people, app developers. Got their feet wet with name, and, you know, some of the namespace tags, and, you know, really most of them got on a super roll. Value for value took a back seat, appropriately so, even though Sphinx had implemented it first, Sphinx Chat, and it was working for quite a while. And then everyone started to kind of get on into value for value. That was organic. There was no pushing. There was no one saying, hey, cut that out with these things. No, it just started to happen and people started to like it. Again, the hosting companies are the ones that talk about the features, which of course is what the app developers implement. But we're in this stalemate, and we really are becoming, in my mind, even sometimes just in our overall discussions, a part of the decade-long, we're talking a lot, we're not doing anything because X, Y, and Z. And so when I heard Podland this week, my heart broke. My heart broke when I heard this. Even though there's goodness in it, but my heart broke when I heard this piece with Sharon Taylor of Omni Studio. She was co-hosting Podland with James Cridlin, and here's the segment.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, partly because I want the boosts from the value for value. What are you looking at in terms of the podcasting 2.0 stuff, the new podcast namespace that Adam Curry is and Dave Weiner?
Okay, that broke my heart right there. I was going to edit it out, but, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for making me relive this.
Yeah, this is where we want that negative boost feature.
Yeah, when you suck money back
suck money back out of your wallet.
Podcast namespace that.
By the way, I love that he asked this question. This is a fucking great question.
Curry is
it is,
and Dave Weiner, Dave Jones. Although who knows, Dave Weiner as well are working on what. What's your sort of feeling around that? Have you been doing any work around that so far?
We've been keeping an eye on it. We haven't done the work around it. We've got a ticket to do the RSS transcript tag. And so we'll probably push that out sooner than later. The challenge is obviously getting a big enough platform to recognize it. We do some custom stuff that we push out through our APIs that people use at the moment if they're building their own experience. But until until, let's do some name checks, until an Apple or a Spotify or a Google, or I'll go Amazon, I'll name them all, like until someone integrates it. I think we are kind of watching and waiting. But yeah, the transcript one is something people have been asking us for, and so we'll put that into the system this year.
Well, that's great. And the transcript certainly is something that really helps accessibility and everything else. So I hope that if they do nothing else, I hope that the big podcast apps also stick that tag in there as well.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable that they're going to have to, especially, I mean, privacy is a huge hot topic in podcasting at the moment as we try and push the envelope in advertising. And so we're going to get to a point where we're going to do contextual things and we're going to need the context to do that. And so we need the transcript. So we're getting there, I think.
My heart broke. It just broke. It shattered in so many pieces.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adam.
Where, you know, I will name literally anything I can. I'll even throw Google and Amazon into the mix. Anything that I can think of except for any other app. If they don't do it, well, but you know, we might do transcript to parse through to advertise. Now,
there's so much there. Like, there's so much in that piece of content. I don't want to disrupt your flow.
And we're going to bring our guest in a minute, because I'm sure he wants to weigh in on this as well. So nothing against James, of course. As you heard Joe Rogan say, even if it's uncomfortable, I got to say what I feel. Nothing against Sharon. It's just heartbreaking that here is someone who is really in charge of this stuff. They haven't done the work. They have a ticket for it. Now, I'm encouraged to hear that people are asking for it, but I don't think people are asking are asking for it to be indexed. And for some privacy reason, which she mentioned, which was unclear to me, so that they can do more advertising heavy on advertising. Because this is where I was last night. I'm like, we have to do something else. And the only thing we can do is things we can control, which is the value for value, which we tack on, through podcast index, which works just fine. We can't be doing that for all these other tags. And so now I'm coming to kind of the confusion. When people see podcastindex.org and I'm a podcast and I go down that podcast path and I see all these great features, I'm like, great, I'm going to switch to this hosting company. Who are these podcast guys? We are completely going to confuse them. They're thinking, wait a minute. And so I can't upload my MP3 here. I have to use these, and who does what? And then we just have a morass of, and again, I'm excluding the ones, I'm excluding everybody. If you feel bad about it, then I'm probably talking about you. There's a lot of great work being done, but we're still in that mode of, well, you know, no one big is doing it. So I don't want to wait for these things anymore. And I want us to push value for value as the main thing that we do. And I want to show all the features of podcasting 2.0, all of them. But we need to be very focused on what we can do. And what we can do is the value for value and the back end and the reporting. And we can make that free, or at least no fee for doing it. There'll be fee for routing your money around, of course. Does that make any sense where my head kind of went with that?
Yeah, I've been a little bit on the front lines of this, being on the Twitter so much with the account and seeing a lot of this. I just want to point out a couple of things here. I had an interaction with Pocket Casts where essentially I was told the same thing, that, you know, until there's more adoption for it, then they're not going to do, you know, they're not going to look at it seriously. And then, now we hear, you know, from hosts the same thing. If there's not more adoption of it, we're not going to take it seriously. Well, okay, so you have two sides there. You have the host saying that thing, and then you have the app saying that thing. And I'm just pointing out that, I mean, these companies can do whatever they want, but I'm just pointing out that this is a stalemate. This is a classic chicken and egg problem. Mm-hmm. Each one is waiting for the other. And as long as that doesn't change, nothing will happen. Everything will stay the same. And the other part of this is, if you can talk to anyone in the podcasting ecosystem, anyone, and you will universally hear that the Apple and Spotify apps are poor quality listening experiences, and they wish that they were better. I mean, that's almost universal that those apps, the quote unquote big ones, are just not that great. And that's not what we want. When we invite, when you see listeners onboarding into the into podcasting for the first time, what you want them to have is a really nice listener app experience. And those two apps are not very good. So the natural question is, then why are we waiting on them to do anything?
Well,
because if those big companies consistently have a poor app experience, then it's clear that that is not where we want to focus the knife edge of innovation in the podcasting world. We want the leading edge of podcasting innovation on the app side, the side that's directly in contact with the listener. That edge needs to be somewhere else. And right now it's in small independent apps. It's in Overcast, Podcast Addict. It's in the Podcasting 2.0 apps, CurioCaster, Podfriend, Castomatic. It's in all of these, and Podverse, Fountain. It's in all of these new apps that are exploding. And Podfriend is exploding onto the scene because now there's innovation to be had. And if the big ones don't step into the game, then their market share is going to plummet because the one group, if you take hosting, app, and creators, hosting companies, app developers, and creators, if you take those three groups, the only ones that we're not hearing say that they don't that they don't care about features are creators.
Mm-hmm.
They like having options. All these new features are how hosting companies sell to creators. You can say, look at these features we give you. And they, you know what their reaction is? Ooh, cool.
So enter
a new feature.
Enter Matt Medeiros, who has one of my favorite titles, Director of Podcast Success.
Nice.
At Castos.
Yes.
And so my heart reassembled. I dropped off the key. I walked out of Heartbreak Hotel this morning when he posted this video. Now, they're a hosting company. I don't think they're very large. I don't know much about them. I think I've heard the name somewhere. And it's a 15-minute video. It's in the show notes. I'm just going to play a little bit of it. And I did chop it up a bit just to make it move a little faster. This is some education that they do for their customers.
In today's video, we're going to try to tackle something that is cutting edge, bleeding edge in some conversation circles, and that is getting paid in cryptocurrency for your podcast. And the concept that we're looking at today from a really high level, if this is brand new to you, it's still brand new to me, you're in the right place. So we all know and think generally about what Bitcoins are. And as podcasters, we're always looking for, well, not always, but those of us who are looking to monetize a podcast are looking for ways to earn money with our podcast. And sometimes the whole advertising route, sponsorship route, the traditional mechanisms for monetization of media and content isn't something that we want to go after. We don't want to knock on somebody's door and ask them for money to get an advertising spot on our podcast. So what options do we have? Well, we have membership podcasts or premium content that people can buy and opt into. And we do that here at Castos. And there's other podcast hosts that do that as well. The folks over at the podcast 2.0 movement, what we'll look at today is podcastindex.org, have means to connect podcasts up to this cutting edge technology, which is cryptocurrency payments, through a unit of Bitcoins known as Satoshis. The Satoshi is currently the smallest unit of Bitcoin currency recorded on the blockchain. It's 100 millionth of a single Bitcoin. So we're talking very, 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 very small units of a Bitcoin. So it takes many, many, many Satoshis to equal large amounts of payment. Now, bear with me. Why is this technology so interesting? The Podcast Index is making it easier every day for podcasters to connect to this kind of form of payment. Now, there's a few things at play that we kind of all have to appreciate or understand first. Number one, this is cutting-edge, bleeding-edge technology, so it's not very easy to set up. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is podcast apps, where the transaction happens, not all of them are doing this yet. And largely questionable if they all will. So you have to pick your favorite podcasting apps, which you can look at right on podcastindex.org/apps. There's a whole list of supported apps for podcast 2.0 and the value for value payments.
So this is
beautiful.
And he goes through the whole process, setting up a node, which he did with Sphinx, funding the wallet, doing all of that stuff. And I love this because he is not just evangelizing towards their customers. He's also evangelizing internally. And they don't have namespace features up yet. But, you know, as he says in the video, not in the clip, but in the video, like they're going to do in this. They want to do a lot. The impression is they want to do a lot of it. I don't know what power the director of success has of podcast success, but I was very, very pleased with that. And then my head is spinning, and now I'm thinking about things, and I want to bring in our guest because I want to take this a little bit further with him. I had no idea he's a Texan until I was prepping for today's show. In fact, he's just a little bit down the road, ladies and gentlemen, from San Antonio, Texas. It is the developer who just burst onto the scene with CurioCaster, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Stephen Bell.
Adam, Dave, how you guys doing?
Hi. I was like, great. I was wondering if you'd fallen asleep. I'm sorry to keep you waiting so long, man.
No, it's all right.
Dude. I love CurioCaster. So CurioCaster has become the app that just does everything immediately. But like, I mean, if we just have some wild, crazy, you know, idiotic idea, like within 10 minutes, it's in CurioCaster.
This is exactly right. It's like, hey, Steven, man, how about this? Boom, boom, boom. You mean like this? And then it's like, oh, I found a bug. It's okay, man. I can only do development work on my lunch break. So who the hell are you, Stephen Bell?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
And who are you? What do you do in real life? Are you a developer by trade?
No, I am an electrician by trade, and I have been moved into the office to estimate the electrical jobs. And I just picked up development about 10 years ago because I wanted a sprinkler system for my garden. And rather than spend $100, I spent 10 years developing that one.
And does it work?
It sort of works.
It runs off a Raspberry Pi, no doubt.
It does, and whenever the power goes out, I have to reload all my stuff.
You are a developer. You're a real one.
He's a proto developer. I love that, man. I love nice. That. Well, you,
how did you get? I mean, like, did you just get a wild hair and say, "I want to just learn how to code"? I mean, like, what was the? You said a sprinkler system. I mean, what was the project like?
I've always been a cheapskate, so I like to make things myself if I can, even though it's going to take me way more time than I'd be better off just spending the money on it. So I just started looking into what I could do and saw that they had a thing called the Arduino.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that
interface that with going. Your real world. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah. Are you a ham radio operator, too?
I am not.
Oh, man, you should be. You got all the qualifications.
I know.
You know voltage? And you know Raspberry Pi with Arduino. You're good to go.
Yeah, and you're okay with stuff not working, ever.
Yeah, very much so.
How'd you find us?
I had a friend who hit me in the mouth probably about, it was probably back in November, and then I heard you talking about Podcast Index, and I was... At work, I listen to podcasts for about 8 hours a day, so I was trying to develop my own thing because I liked Apple's interface, but they don't let you play at the increased speed, and then I needed something that let me view the incoming episodes, so I decided to build one myself.
Now, I want to say that's how most projects, like open source projects especially, start, is you have an existing piece of software, whether it's open source or not, that
that does like almost what you want, but there's like one feature that just keeps driving you nuts. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to remake this because I think I can. I'm going to remake it and I'm going to add this feature. And so you get to that point, and then in the process, you end up thinking of 25 other things that it could do that would make it great. And then you, boom, you get a project.
Oh, it's yeah. Like, and then they start adding stuff like chapters and transcripts. And it's like, well, I got to add that too.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Your speed is quite astonishing.
Yeah. So you've taken the mantle from Martin. See, Martin has become a responsible developer now, and he handed over the reckless thing
the
to
recklessness.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. Martin's got shit working now. He's like, I don't want to mess with it too much. And then, I'm going to get married, going to go to Greece. I'm just messing with you, Martin, man. We love you. We miss you. And you know he's listening.
So you, Stephen, I want to ask you, you program, correct me if I'm wrong, you're coding in Svelte.
Yeah.
Okay. What the hell is Svelte? I mean, what is that?
So Svelte is a JavaScript compiler that takes all of your code and actually makes its own JavaScript. So it runs a lot lighter than something like React. And you're not running on a virtual DOM. It actually interacts with the DOM. And I like it because I learned JavaScript by doing vanilla JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And this is as close to vanilla JavaScript as any framework I've ever messed with.
You had me at DOM.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have the flip-flop overhead from manipulating the virtual DOM and then flipping it into production. Okay. I know nothing about Svelte. I never hear about it. Is it one of these things like CoffeeScript that's going to be like a flash in the pan, or has it got a good following?
It's got a pretty good following, and I think it's Syntax FM. They're a pretty big JavaScript podcast, and he did mm-hmm. his whole website in Svelte, and it was actually developed by Rich Harris, and he does the graphics for... Oh, I want to say the New York Times, and he developed it for his work there.
Oh, interesting. So it's got a decent pedigree then.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, no, I was just going to interrupt with a quick message from France.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
Boost. Svelte. That sounds French.
Svelte. Yeah, I guess it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So is CurioCaster, is that an open source thing, or is you still got closed source?
It's still closed sourced, and okay. I don't want Adam or I'm sorry, Alex to see my code.
Shit, man, no one wants Alex to look at their code.
No, he'll find it.
So I have a question, because you approach things. I love working with developers, by the way. I love working with every single one of them. It's so much fun, and it's so enriching, you know, from Mitch with Podverse to, of course, very intense with Martin as he was getting started with Podfriend. Hypercatcher, David will come back. We'll pick it up and do some more work there. I've really enjoyed CurioCaster. And so I have a request for you to think about. In light of the first half hour of the show, I had a thought, and I've mentioned this before, and Dave knows that I am a big fan of the concept of Microsoft Word. Why do I like Microsoft? And by the way, you could have it be LibreOffice. It's fine. Yeah. The idea is you're creating a media element, in this case, a document, that the recipient is going to read in the same app. And I've always thought, my goodness, it would be so revolutionary if you manage your podcast feed in an app that you use. And with the web apps, it's very possible because of the desktop nature of it. The CurioCaster desktop experience is like I'm piloting a 747. You know, I've got it all, but it's not a Boeing. I'm not a, what is the Airbus? It's a Boeing, because, you know, it's sheet metal and rivets. You know, it's like shit strapped on. It's going to fly forever. And something might pop off. We'll get some gaffer tape. And seeing as Castos, but there are other, they have an API. Blueberry works with the PodPress plugin. Is it a thought and I think the RSS feed part is where you host that is doable. And I currently host my RSS feed or all the whatever it is that's on Linode and Cloudflare. I push 5 terabytes a month, and it costs me, I don't know, what is it, $60? It's an incredible amount of data. Is it possible to create the RSS feed either, well, it would be beautiful was the API, but I know the hosting companies won't output what we need, but to at minimum use their storage capability, you would still have to pay for that, but to have everything else managed through CurioCaster as an example. I'd just like you to think about that because we need to focus on value for value, which you've done so incredibly well, and you've pioneered the boostergrams. But you know, we've got that. We're going to move on that. All the other stuff, this just seems like there's a possibility. Maybe I'm off my rocker.
No. You've mentioned that before, and with Sir Spencer having so many issues with Castapod, and he was mentioning a bunch of that stuff on the podcast index. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. Man, I bet I could do something like that. So what I'm trying to do is get a CurioCaster video podcast going that shows how to use CurioCaster. Because right now I think the getting people to do the value for value, the onboarding is difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think they just need something that they can see. So as I'm doing that, I'm trying to build some RSS feed generators that I can work with. And yeah, I've got some ideas on how you can go to the chapters tab and then just hit add a new chapter, and all of that gets fed into whatever database there is.
Oof. And, you know, we could convince some of the bigger hosting companies, hey, you know what? If we show up, can we just put the RSS feed on the server and the MP3 file and bypass your system?
Well, I know Blueberry has an API. I mean, I know, and because they already essentially do that with WordPress.
Where does the RSS live? That lives on WordPress.com?
I think you could do it either way. I think you can make it on Blueberry. You could make Blueberry host your RSS and your media.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
And so I think you can do it multiple ways. So I know at least they have that capability of accepting media files through their API, I'm pretty sure.
Because that would solve so much. They can do whatever they want to do. They can continue building their process and their features based upon their customer feedback. And as budgets allow, I understand. This is not a slam. I'm just identifying the facts. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, we have a nice little garrison of app developers who can focus on this and bypass the entire problem. And everyone still gets what they need. Only in this case, I would say CurioCaster deserves some more satoshis at the block level. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, a lot to be fleshed out, but it just seems like it's workable.
Yeah, it would be really interesting, Stephen, if there was like, inside the app, if there were, you know, you can, the app looks exactly like it does, but then there's this one extra function there that just says create podcast.
Yeah, and it totally seems doable. You log in and you've got proof that you're the owner of that podcast, and you can do whatever you want with the RSS feed.
Yeah. And then you just publish it back through a hosting API, and you can update it as you feel need to, and then you still have the safety of being behind the hosting company's border, you know, for billing and all that kind of jazz. That'd mm-hmm. be pretty cool, man.
I mean, imagine if podcasters show up and you say, "Oh, here's an app that your listeners can use, and you can use it too."
Yeah.
And if you're fortunate, it'll work with your existing host. If not, you know, Castos.
Well, you know, that was the whole thing with Anchor. From the beginning, they started off, they weren't a podcasting company to begin with. They started off as a social audio company,
mm-hmm.
where it was just like sharing little bits of audio. And then they pivoted to being a podcasting company, I think just because of, you know, financial reasons. But then, that's always been their thing, is pick it up, hit the button, you're a podcaster.
Yeah.
Like single click thing. It would be really cool to have that in a podcasting 2.0 app where you literally hit the button. If you're on the phone, if you're using CurioCaster on the phone, which I do most of the time, then you just hit the, you record right into the speaker or something crazy like that. I mean, like it could literally be that level of ease. And, then you have some interstitial where it's like, okay, what host are you going to use? And, a Blueberry, and then you just plug away. I mean, it's like a boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden you're a podcaster.
Yeah. This is what I'd like professors to use for their lectures or anything like that. I mean, that immediacy in the same app, mind blowing. And you know what? People will get it. Like, oh, okay. That makes sense. So, Stephen, have you developed it yet? Is it done?
Hey, how about next week?
You know how this works, man.
seriously, bro. Go ahead.
I've got something to throw at you, Stephen. So, have you looked at all at the live tag, or has any of that swirled around in your head?
I've looked at some of it with the GitHub, and I can already do live through HLS.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how the peer-to-peer is working. So from what I understand, HLS was set up for live streaming.
So I was reading through the spec last night as one does
before bedtime.
Well, it's a great way to fall asleep. I can promise you that.
That's what I do too. Let me read the Bitcoin white paper again.
Okay, so I'm reading through it, and it looks like where we landed on it last time that it was talked about. And the reason I'm asking about this, I'm trying to piece everything together for phase four right now. And trying to figure out exactly what tags we want to hit. And I'm catching up with it. And it shows like essentially what you would have is a live tag. And then inside the live tag, you would have a full episode item and everything that goes in it. And so basically what that gives you is, it gives you a live item that's hidden because it's enclosed in this tag that none of the aggregators are looking for or understand. They would just ignore it. So you then inside that you can put this live. You can put a full episode item, and then inside of that the enclosure is going to reference an HLS stream or whatever. And then the only additional tags within it are a start time and an end time. So to let the player know that this is the approximate time that the live stream here is going to start. And then we come through with a pod ping that signals that, okay, the live stream has started. Now, I think what you're doing, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you are parsing the XML directly yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you could pick all that stuff up.
Yeah, as long as that RSS has been updated with the live status, yeah, they should mm-hmm. pick it up no problem.
So what do you think? Is there any sort of hearing and visualizing that? Do you see any drawbacks or any gotchas in there that everybody may be missing? I'm real interested in this because I want to know. I would like to go forward with the live stuff. And so I just feel like there's not enough input on it yet. So I'm interested to see what you think about it.
Well, I'll have to read through the spec because
Dave, you're distracting him from my great ideas. You're putting him on a different path.
No, I was messing with the No Agenda live stream, trying to see if I could play it through CurioCaster,
really?
Because I thought it would be really cool to get live boost and streaming while you guys are doing the episode.
That's what we're talking about, man. Hell yeah.
If you've got 2,000 people in the troll room, mm-hmm. there's competition on who could be boosting the most. And you could even have like a top booster and who like they get their name on the leaderboard.
Oh, check it out. And when someone boosts, it automatically posts the boost to the IRC channel.
Yeah, something like that.
Stop it, Steven, stop. You don't understand the monster you've unleashed here. The only thing I could think of that's a problem is if you put the live item in the feed, then you have to wait for people to aggregate it so that they know about it. So we're just thinking about this in a traditional aggregator client model where the server's doing all the aggregation. Now that can be mitigated somewhat with Podping and with WebSub to a degree. But then you get the item. So that's hitch one, I think, can be overcome. But then the only other hitch I can think of is that then what happens after the stream? So what you would think you would want to do is you would want to air the stream. Then after the stream is ended, you want to convert that into a normal item, a normal episode. And so I would think, does the live item then just, do you just strip the live off there and boom, you got your item?
I don't know. I'm thinking, like, what if you had as the top item always live? Because, like, the No Agenda stream, you can always go to that URL, and it may just be playing music, but there's something going on. And now you know that this podcast has a live thing.
Ah, yes. This is handy because it's a 24-hour live stream. You can always pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and then I see what you're saying. And then, because that thing's just always kind of stuck at the top. And then the only thing that would change would be the start time and end time. So, like, if it's something like, let's just say, Accidental Tech, that podcast has a weekly stream, live stream, but it's not a 24-hour stream. So, at the end of when their stream goes offline, they would just change the start time to the next week.
Yeah, and I wonder if they had something that when you go to that live stream, if it's not streaming, it can just return something to let you know that there's no feed going on right now.
And it's just like some hold music. Boom,
yeah. Or they could just keep looping the last week's episode over and over.
No, yeah, okay. I like this because I've been thinking of it in terms of swapping in and out live items, but this is, and you could still do that, but I do like this idea too, which you have the sticky live item that's always there. That's really good. I really want to try to push this because it sounds fairly straightforward to me.
And I think the thing that's been super, like, what's making podcasting 2.0 so popular is the community.
Yep.
And people want to feel like they're part of a community. And that's why the troll room's so popular. You get to know people. And I think the live stream will help enable that because I hate waiting till 3 o'clock to hear the newest episode. I want to hear you guys live.
Have you done anything in that vein? Have you done anything on ActivityPub on comments, or are you just kind of watching?
Yeah, I was going to say cross comments is another one of those.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting because I can't get my head wrapped around.
Martin's on vacation. The whole world stands still.
I know, and as soon as he puts it on his GitHub, I'm going to go steal it.
Yeah, well, hell yeah,
good man. That's a good man.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking, you know, just take this show for example. I'm thinking that the live item's sticky at the top. As soon as the start time happens, Podping goes out and what we're thinking is that the Podping will just be a notification with the URL of the URL with an exclamation point or something like that in front of it to just denote that this is an alert, a stream alert. And so then that goes out, CurioCaster taps in at that time when it gets the Podping, taps in and starts streaming. the feed, and then in somewhere inside that live item could also be a reference back to the mass, to the podcastindex.social as the ActivityPub partner or ActivityPub node, and then as boosts are happening or something like that, they're popping into as items into the into the Mastodon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Kind of like how Satoshi Stream's Telegram was showing when people boost it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Something like that. Yeah, because you could link it back to a Mastodon or a Telegram or an IRC or whatever you wanted on the back end. I think that fits into Benjamin Bellamy's social tag.
Speaking of Benjamin Bellamy, if I might just take a quick moment and remind everybody that he will be presenting a virtual session at Podcast Movement, Podcast Index, How to Unleash Your Value Thanks to the Podcast Namespace. I guess it's on demand, so you can, once it's open, or if it's, maybe you can even watch it now if you have tickets. He is really flying the flag, and it's highly appreciated.
Yeah, I've got it pulled up. I plan on watching it over the weekend. If it's out already, I think you can go ahead and
watch
it.
I think you can, right? Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I was too busy picking up the pieces of my shattered heart.
okay, so, Stephen, tell me that you have made at least a little bit of money.
God, I was just going to ask the same thing, Dave. I was going to say, hey, man, how's the sat stacking going?
I've probably made $20 that I end up giving back to you guys with testing.
This is pretty much how it works. Yeah. We're our own circular economy. It's a donut model.
Yeah. No, I feel you. So, I mean, are you at least getting a steady supply then?
Yeah, this guy named Adam Curry, I get a few from him every single morning right around 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's when I'm listening to Pod News. Okay. Yeah, you got a lot yesterday because we got name checked, so I quad boosted.
Quad boost?
Yeah, quad boost.
Now you're the only app besides Podfriend that I know of that supports video right now.
Yeah, and I'm surprised more don't, because it sounds like it's difficult, but you just use a video tag instead of an audio tag if you're using HTML5.
It's a supply issue, you know, and I spoke to Roy at Breeze, and you know, we were working on the WebLN integration, and they, I think I can say this, I think it's okay to mention, I don't see why not. They're seeing an issue that on iOS, not Android, but iOS, the processor starts overheating when it's processing the graph, the network graph. Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said. I'm like, holy crap. What the heck is going on?
No, I know exactly what he's talking about, because I've noticed that, and it'll actually crash the app.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's like you'll be sitting there, and it'll be processing, and the thing will be fire hot in your hand.
My goodness. Okay. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is, but it's intense.
So the supply issue, I think that's kind of what we're waiting for, is to have a little cleaner experience. But quite honestly, I think we should forge ahead. I haven't spoken to Mark Hall, you know, so kind to put up his documentary for us to mess around with. You know, we've got Alex, he's Alex Gates. He's got, you know, he can handle some stuff. We need to have kind of the hosting part a little more seamless.
And I think you can host on, the No Agenda Tube. I don't know if Alex charges, or I think all that's free to host on it.
Right. Well, he's taking something in the value block. Thank goodness.
Yeah,
it's not enough, though. It's just really not much.
No, it's not. It's not. Well, there's stuff to be worked on, but I mean, I agree. It's just there's so much to do. So many things. You know, we got music coming up, people starting to use it. And, so the developers are going to have to focus on what they want to do. There's a lot. And I just have my secret wish of getting everything working. bypassing hosting companies and helping them out.
Yeah,
giving them a little help.
Well, what do you think is your, what's the thing that you, that you're looking to implement the most? Like what would your desire be for a phase four type feature? Or are you not, or are you in a mode where you're not looking for new features now? You're just like sort of in a, I want to perfect what we already have situation.
Live is probably, I think, the most beneficial.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah, I would think so too. And that here's what I'm looking at for phase four, and you can give me any feedback you have. I'm thinking of the medium tag, which I think is really good. The dynamic content tag. I think that's it's clear that that's needed, and that's a simple tag. It's just basically like dynamic content, yes or no. It's a true false tag. Block. I think we're gonna need that, and then live.
And then were we gonna do something with comments within the namespace?
Yeah, but it's such a big one, and it's so fraught. That I just don't think we can do it in phase four.
Okay, that may just be something where some of us play around to develop what we even need in the namespace.
Yeah, I think what it's going to be, like you just said, I think it's going to be a lot of playing around and developing, and then people coming in and identifying ways that it can be abused, and then tightening that up. I think there's going to have to be a lot of a back and forth that goes through before we say, okay, yeah, this is something that we can do. But I mean, we all know that it can happen. It's just that you want to make sure that you do it in a way that's not just a horrible, you know, cluster of potential abuse.
Yeah. There's a lot of issues, and until it's even built, we don't even know what half of them are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You have to see it in action, and then you can say, oh yeah, here, because you can identify some of them ahead of time and say, okay, well, you know, I could do this and I could do that and I could do this. Then when you see it in action, it's like, oh, and I could also do this. And you know, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's going to take a couple of cycles before we get our head on straight about this comments thing.
Yeah. And I'm glad guys are just going ahead and doing something.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to keep it in committee until we iron everything out.
Steven, have you thought at all about the onboarding process for CurioCaster? I mean, we've discussed a number of things, and actually, after the last episode, Tim from LNPay on the back channel, he's like, "Oh man, faucets suck. I'm getting rid of them." But he's like, "Well, we can still maybe have one open or do something. You know, we'll have to figure it out." Have you thought about the onboarding process? How you get people into loading up the wallet on CurioCaster, which of course is LNPay? But have you? What's your thoughts about that?
I think right now they don't know what they're doing. And, that video, you guys played the clip that 15, Casto video.
Mm-hmm.
That was perfect. We need more of that where it's just a tutorial so that the next level of people who aren't super technical, but still like the technology can start doing it.
What do you recommend? What do you recommend people? How to get Satoshis into their wallet? What do you tell your users?
I tell them to use Strike. Strike just makes everything so easy.
Yeah, U.S. only, unfortunately. A U.S. UK. Yeah, that does suck. That does suck.
So,
that's my heart breaking over Strike.
Yeah.
Golly.
But that's the simplest onboarding.
Yeah, I think we might get lucky with Cash App / maybe even Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah, I'm hoping Jack Dorsey comes and saves us all.
Well, there's a French guy actually. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Well, out of the bag now. There's a French guy who's in like some secret group at Facebook, and he's a member of the tribe. Some Twitter secret group where they develop stuff like a Skunkworks, I think.
Oh, like an R&D thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I've met him. I'm like, dude,
cool.
Here's a thought for a project.
You know, that everybody gets freaked out by the, and I've seen this three times now. You recommend Strike, and then everybody gets they get freaked out. They're like, why does this thing want me to give them my personal information?
Mm-hmm.
You have
it freaked me out the first time.
Yeah. I think people are not understanding what it's just like Venmo or Cash App or PayPal. Like what you have with all of those is you have a bank account. It's a small mobile bank account is what it is. And if you attach your normal bank account, what you're doing at that point is you're doing banking. And so you have to comply with the KYC AML rule, which KYC is know your customer.
Yeah, pretty much even buying Bitcoin in most places, there's some kind of KYC AML, actually. Know your customer, anti-money laundering. And
sure, I think the issue is the people that are interested in Bitcoin right now they're not your average Joe. They're going to be more of your liberty-minded people who don't want the government following them. And they've got this idea that Bitcoin is a private thing. So when they are asked for their ID, it's just like, well, that's not what I want.
And that's legacy, and that's going to – a lot of that is going to morph and change over time. I'm not too worried about that. Even – we were talking this morning, Dave, Eric, and I, about the so-called $28 billion tax that they want to grab from crypto. I'm like, you know what? Put Bitcoin into the tax system. Just let us know what it is. There's still the way value for value works is, you have no idea. No one knows who's sending what to whom. Now, if you have to report income which you should anyway, I'll tell you what freaks me out. Is PayPal partnering with the Anti-Defamation League? That's what freaks me out. And the Anti-Defamation League, and I've met with different leaders from that in different countries. They are going way beyond their understood charter, and they are going to, in essence. Here, I'll read it to you. The initiative with PayPal will be led through ADL's Center on Extremism, a leading authority on extremism, terrorism, and hate. PayPal and ADL will focus on further uncovering and disrupting the financial pipelines that support extremist and hate movements, in addition to extremists and anti-government organizations. Anti-government organizations. The initiative will focus on actors and networks spreading and profiting from all forms of hate and bigotry against any community. And then at some point, they literally say they will be looking just at people who are anti-government.
So what is anti-government? I mean, are we talking about Ron Paul? Because he's anti-government. I mean, how far does that statement go?
Well, it doesn't matter. The statement is there. So it's I don't even need to think about it. I know that we need to have uninterruptible money because it's coming. And it goes right back to the beginning of the show. Oh, I feel discriminated against by this podcast. You should no longer process their payments. It's all about reporting. So, this is not even YouTube didn't want this in the beginning until something came in.
With the advertisers.
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, and what I have brought up multiple times in the past is that people have to understand that this society changes over time, and you're going to have you may feel like your own personal politics at this moment in history are on the right side, quote unquote, of whatever is going on. Well, I'm not going to be canceled because because everybody, I agree with the mainstream. I agree with the people who are on the favorable side of
today,
whatever the current climate is.
Today. So
today. Well, it wasn't like that 20 years ago. If you go back 20 years ago, it was exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go forward in time, 20 years from now, it could be the opposite again.
Yep.
And you don't want to put tools. You don't want to put the tools in the hands of people that, unless you think it through and say, okay, if I ended up on the other side of this thing, how it could destroy me.
Yeah.
And so, because everybody thinks that their position is righteous, whether you agree with it or not, everybody thinks that they're on the right side of things. And so what it comes down to is, do you want to put do you want to put these powerful tools in the hands of people that can abuse them?
Yeah.
And the answer is always no. I mean, it has to be no. That old adage of, I may not like what you say, but I'm going to defend to the death the mm-hmm. right for you to say it.
Mm-hmm.
That has a real golden rule application when it comes to this kind of stuff. The reason that cliche and that you know thing exists, that old saw exists, is because mm-hmm. it's true. You do have to make yourself slightly uncomfortable with defending people you may not agree with, because ultimately it will benefit everybody to have a system in which tyrannical people in charge do not have tools to destroy you with. I mean, it's not really. I get flustered with the whole free speech stuff like that. I mean, it's like people can't see beyond 5 minutes from now, and look down the road and say things could change. Well, and I'll bring this up too. I mean, if you have not been following Matt Taibbi's, I think it's called like Voice of the
Told or something. Oh yeah, like that. Taibbi. I've been following him since he deconstructed Wall Street, which he's the only person, the writer for Rolling Stone.
He does a series where he has an article every so often. It's mm-hmm. like Voices of the Canceled or something like that. and he says, he just does an expose on somebody who got deplatformed. And I'm telling you, they are not right wingers.
No.
Many of them are left wingers.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of them are and people who are pro Palestine have been deplatformed. Antifa people have been it's everybody. And you, if you think that you're just kind of sort of in the happy squishy middle and everything's going to be okay, yeah, you need to think again.
Shall we thank a few people?
Yes,
for supporting the Podcasting 2.0 project, as well as this podcast. Of course, it's all part of podcastindex.org. Now, the Boostagrams, thank you very much, Stephen. And more, of course, are working quite well. And you have those on your list? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got them.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave, very much. I love the new format.
Oh, cool.
I got a timestamp. I've got the episode and the podcast, of course. I've got the amount. I've got from. And then I have a nice little debugging. Some debugging stuff. Love that. So this is a value, as we discussed at the beginning, this is value for value. Whatever value you get from the project, from this podcast, go ahead and turn that into a number and send it to us. You can do that by, well, obviously a famous
boost.
Or...
here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
That's the easy one with the podcast app from newpodcastapps.com. Or you can go to podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. Big red PayPal donate button, actually. Hit that, and we gladly accept your cuck bucks. And we want to thank people who supported the project this week.
Oscar Mary came in with $50.
Now, Oscar. We have to bring up Oscar.
Yes, Fountain.fm, new app on the block.
Brand new app, and as far as I know, the first value-for-value enabled app in the official iOS app store.
That's right. Yeah, as far as I know. Sphinx is in there.
Yeah.
But this would be the first single podcast app.
I mean, it's a twofer. It's a twofer because, podcast apps themselves, we've seen from Martin's experience, they're very like, oh, what's this? What you doing? Are you connecting to illegal content? Do you have licenses? Yeah. Show me your papers. I'm Apple. Yeah, we could do one of those Hitler videos about Martin and Apple.
Oh, the frustrated Hitler.
The frustrated Hitler bit.
Yeah.
But also, transferring value outside of the Apple ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So, presuming that everything's all A-OK, which it looks like it is, and you've been using this app, I think, Dave. It's mm-hmm. built in Flutter, so I'm hoping that there will be an APK available for my Graphene OS soon.
He said he was going to send out press releases, in about a week, and he said he wanted to wait until he gets the APK built.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I got you. So not on No Agenda either, because I always plug an app or something on No Agenda.
No, I think it was okay for no agenda. I think he just said he's waiting for the full press release before have the APK.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll do that. Fountain.fm. It's very pretty. It's very, very pretty.
Pretty app.
Yeah, very pretty app.
Thank you, Oscar. Let's see. Who we got? Dame Jennifer.
Man.
She gave us some cuck bucks.
Yep.
Let's see. She says, go podcasting. A few more cuck bucks since I allegedly don't know anything about Bitcoin. That's a slam on me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Jennifer.
To be fair, I only know the very tiny tip of the iceberg that is crypto. The new boyfriend, quote unquote, is an ideas guy. So stay tuned, Dame Jennifer.
I'm very excited. I think Tina will be probably working with Dame Jennifer on some of the videos for the new website.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait to see those two heads come together.
$33.33 is what she gave us.
Yep.
Now we got some boostergrams.
Yay. We love the boostergrams.
From Kieran. I'm assuming that's Kieran Down from Mere Mortals podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He gave us 8,383 sats.
Boost!
And he says, these sats are just for you, Adam.
Aww.
I don't get any of them. not cool.
But they went into our collective wallet, Dave.
Oh, cool. All right. We have a joint bank account.
We do. We do. We have a partner's bank account.
Partner's bank, yes. I can't believe you registered diapernode.com to forward to the index.
Wait
I'm
a minute.
Over here.
Did I do that?
I guess.
Diapernode.com. Seriously? Oh, that's hilarious. Yes, it does. I don't know. I learned it by doing the drugs, okay?
What's a diaper node? I'm not in on this inside joke.
I think it's a lightning node that has, you know, very, very few sats on it.
Oh, like the training wheels.
Like the mousy node. No, it's a diaper node. I can't remember why we did this or why I did this. I have this problem.
Okay.
I collect domain names. It's paid off in the past, though. It's been good to me.
Diapernode.com. Okay. Thank you, Kieran. Who we got here? And we got...
I also have preservepodcasting.com. What the hell does that go to?
Oh, I remember when you registered that.
Oh, also podcast index, yeah.
See, Anonymous gave us 1,100 sats and nice. says, just testing is the message.
Good for
That's
me.
Fine. It's good for me, too. let's see. 1,000 sats from Nomad Joe. Nomad Joe, this came in through PodFriend. He says, does this thing work? Thanks for your service.
God, I love that. I love how it's like, this one came in through PodFriend. Yes, it was on the Morse code machine. The teletype brought it in.
Dame Jennifer gave us 1,000 sats.
And
this came in through CurioCaster.
Yes, Steven. Ladies and gentlemen, we're reading it right off the transfer from CurioCaster.
In the morning, testing messages with boosts. So cool. Smiley
nice.
Face.
Nice, nice.
Boost!
By the way, emojis do work in these messages.
Yeah, I saw that too. Cool.
Another one from Dame Jennifer, again through CurioCaster. Track this boost as a marker. Oh, I guess that's a callback to her suggestion from last week.
Ah, right.
1,000 sats.
What was that the time? What was the timestamp?
I was about to give you the time. You read my mind, brother. Yeah. 1 hour and 45 minutes and 52 seconds.
145, 52.
Track it. Write it down.
Well, I mean, what I'm expecting is that right from that Boostergram email, you know, I totally expect to just click on that. It opens up my favorite podcast app.
A link to whatever podcast app it came in through at that timestamp, right?
Yes, exactly. So then I can immediately see, so let's do this live. We'll do it live. Hold on a second. Okay, we're open. Let's see. What was the, it's 145.52. Oh, that reminds me of an interface issue I wanted to talk to Stephen about. 140. Yeah, I know.
We're debugging it live, Stephen.
We're debugging it live, baby. Okay, let's see what this is.
Where you hit the boost button. So I'm expecting about 30,000 sats from Dame Jen, unless we have a separate... Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
Boom, right there.
Even boosts, the way they... See how that works, people?
Beautiful.
You just shame people. You tell them, hey, what are you doing? Boost me! Boost me!
Boost!
And they do it. So, thank you, Dame Jennifer. She understands how my brain works. Perfect.
Stephen, can you, do you, you support starting at a timestamp, right?
Yeah. Sure does. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll bake that in there. Okay. So we got one that came in. We got one that came in on the transom here. It's not on, I don't have a printout. It's from Jeff. It's just first name, Jeff, 1,000 sats from CurioCaster. And he says, in lieu of a live donation, this will have to do. Looking forward to episode 48.
Nice.
All right. I can't crumple it. Oh, yeah. I got something. All right. All right. So that's everybody. So our monthly folks, if I can find the sheet. Well, where did the sheet go? Oh, God, I've lost the sheet.
Oh, no. Not the sheet. Sheet.
What happened to
he
it?
He has lost the sheet.
Oh, it fell down. It was next to my bucket. Oh, okay.
Your bucket?
Yeah, my desk is propped up on 2 5-gallon buckets.
Of course, I understand.
Yeah,
you know why not? Why not?
All right, so we got Jeff Miller, $20. Droidworks, $20. Stu Coates, $6.66. Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb.
You know, thank you, Dreb. And I wanted to mention to Dreb, I talk about Dreb so much at home, too. Tina's looking around on, I think maybe might have been Twitter or Podcast Index. And she says, gosh, this Dreb, let me just check his profile picture. Let me see what he looks like. Whoa! Have you seen Dreb's profile picture?
Yeah, it's like an alien or something, right?
It's like the Pod Friend monster blanket. It's like, Dreb, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
So let's see, that's Jeff Scott with 15. Jeff, Leslie Martin, $2. Terry Keller, $4.11, 411. Pedro Goncalves, $5. And Aaron Renault, $5. So that's our monthly guys. Thank you, everybody. And that's it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. Value for value. What you get out of it, you put back into it. That keeps it going. If not, eventually the shop closes. But I would say the enthusiasm is great, and we feel it, and we highly appreciate it. And that is time, talent, and treasure. So even if you're not sending financial support, if you're doing anything, even just retweeting, that's very valuable. Really, yeah. Really valuable, and we highly appreciate it. Podcastindex.org, donate button down at the bottom of the page. And, of course, you can always boost. Stephen, there's just something I wanted to say. You made a change in the way the progress bar shows in CurioCaster.
I did. When we went over to video, I did that so that when you watch it full screen, you mm-hmm. still have that progress bar.
I like that. The only thing that I find problematic is if I want to see... So the progress bar down below shows me what's left, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I somehow also kind of liked... being able to tap on the album art and it not stop immediately, but to then be able to see the balance, you know, the full progress bar with how much is left, how much I've listened to, and then tapping on the play pause button would actually pause it. I'm just okay, as, just
start
as personal.
Calling you the Orkin man, because you just found another bug.
Well, what are you going to call me?
The Orkin man.
The Orkin man.
Yeah, the
exterminator company.
Exterminators. Yeah.
Oh, we have pest control here. Sorry, I'm not
familiar. I get the reference.
Okay, so that's a bug. All right, okay. I really love the little icon down below. I'm like, oh, that's handy. But then I also just want to see the full view, and it always stops the podcast.
Yeah, I need to fix that. That'll be a weekend project.
Okay, one other thing, just because it hit me. I tried to end, so I stopped a clip. I wanted to send, get a clip. With the share feature, and it was 07 minutes and 20 seconds. And I wanted to make it 06 seconds and 20 seconds, and 06 minutes and 20 seconds. And when I type in the box, 06, it just says, fuck you, 07.
All right.
And so that's two. That's two.
Keep going. Go for three.
If you don't say these things, you know what happens? You get used to them.
Yep.
And then this has happened to me with so many things. So many wonderful pieces of technology that I was involved in early, early on. And I learned all these crazy workarounds. And so it's like, I'm not interested in that product. Too many workarounds, even though they've been fixed for years.
Yeah. You know, and I appreciate it because I'm not messing around with a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And half the time I break something that was working.
You're pioneering something else, which I dig, which is the fast follow, which works perfectly within CurioCaster. So the idea for those who are new is you can create a fast follow QR code and associated URL that you can then, you know, paste anywhere, send to somebody, and then can be scanned by either the Curio, if you're in CurioCaster and you scan it with your camera, then it will take you right to the podcast. If you're using your regular, just your regular phone camera, it'll take you to the designated URL of the podcast. I really love this functionality. Is it something that can work cross app though, is the question?
Yeah, as long as they follow the format, and we just add a hashtag to the end of the URL with fast follow equals and then the podcast GUID.
That's it. Man, you must be killer in the electrical wiring business. You do that shit in your sleep.
So the question on fast follow that I have is, should the URL that's referenced, should it be some sort of universal landing page, or should it be the podcast URL? I guess what should
that both. URL it be? It has a fallback.
Yeah, I know it has a fallback, but that's what the fallback is actually what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you go to the fast follow for podcasting 2.0, I think Stephen, that you're generating it using the link tag in the feed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's obvious. Yeah.
Okay, so some feeds don't have a link tag.
Well, they just have to go home.
Well, and you can manually change that to whatever you want.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, though. Should there be a sort of universal, should there be a fastfollow.com, you know, whatever, some sort of universal thing that lands on these links? If there's not a link in the feed, and it lands there, and what it does is takes the GUID and converts it into, like, I don't know, 25 different app specific links so that you can bounce out to whatever app you want. It's like a double fallback.
Yeah.
So I mean, that it always works.
Yeah. Basically, if the link is undefined, then we just have some sort of a default page that it goes to.
Yeah. Yeah, like fastfollow.link or something like that, you know?
Okay, I've registered fastfollow.org. Fastfollow.com is already taken. Let me see what people are doing on it. But I got it fast.
What about fastfollow.link?
Well, you don't like .org?
No, I mean, .link is cool because it's a link. Because it's links.
Okay, hold on.
Link is what all the cool kids are doing.
All right, hold on.
Like pod.link.
Okay. All right. We want to be That's one of the, Nathan's I guy. Want to be a cool kid. Hold on a second. I don't want to be with the losers sitting at the wrong table at lunch.
Well, you know, Nathan Gathright should be doing this anyway because he was mocking. He was mocking the fast follow the other day. And no, I'm just kidding. He wasn't mocking it.
Who was this? Who's mocking?
No, Nathan from pod.link. He was just playing around, but he's got the perfect domain for this. It's called pod.link.
Yeah, he does. All right. Fastfollow.link is registered.
Nice. Okay. So,
whatever you guys want, I'll point it to anything, whatever you want.
Okay, cool.
Or I'll give you DNS, whatever you want.
Double fallback.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, that solves, I can't.
All we have to solve is hunger.
Gonna get,
right? World hunger and homelessness. And we have done a great job for ourselves.
Steven can code that up in Svelte.
Yeah. All right, we're getting punchy now.
Okay.
Steven, man, what else on the horizon for you?
Oh.
By the way, do you have a family? You got a significant other?
Yeah, I've got a wife, and she homeschools our three kids.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Nice. So
how old is it?
She's got the tough job.
Yeah, no kidding. How old are your kids?
I've got an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Oh, God bless you, man. I can't believe you have time for breathing.
Yeah, it's that 4-year-old wears me out.
No, it's a terrorist. It's a terrorist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Steve was like, yeah.
Yeah, from two to five, you know, it depends on the kid. Terrorists. Total DVE. Total DVE territory.
Your kids. Oh, yeah,
and we had just gotten the two oldest ones right out of that, and they were in the fun age, and then here comes the third one.
Yeah, and then before you know it, Dad, I want the keys to the car.
Yeah. Oh,
it's coming.
Yeah. I can't let my wife listen now. That'll give her a heart attack.
It doesn't end, man. I've got a 30-year-old. I've got two stepdaughters, 24 and 26, and I love them. They're fantastic, but it doesn't end. They're like resource suckers.
That your kids are the same exact age, almost the same exact age distance as mine. The first two are 2 years apart, and then the third one is 6 years behind. And that third one is like it's just long enough to where you don't have any of the stuff. All the stuff you had is gone. All the baby stuff is gone, and you forgot how to change diapers. It's just long enough to get out of the game, you know. You got to relearn everything. But having that youngin' around is awesome.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun.
All right, Dave. Yeah. Any updates on the dupes?
Dupes are a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
That's my update.
Okay.
I now have a flowchart. The flowchart is search for titles. There's actually three dedupe scripts right now. There's the first two are easy. It's a C hash and then a direct episode comparison for URLs. But the third dedupe script is like the monolith. This thing there's a flowchart for it, and it does a title comparison, a fuzzy title match. Then when that comes back, It looks for URLs in the episodes that match. If some of those match, then it looks for title matches in the episodes. If also some of those match, then the part that I'm on right now is the image comparison. Then it starts to look for image matches on the episode level and then on the feed level. And then finally, it will have to differentiate between, it'll have to look for iTunes IDs and then it'll say, okay, if this one has an iTunes ID, consider it to be the authoritative version and then mark the other ones dead. If none of them have an iTunes ID, then that's still a question mark on the flowchart. So, I mean, it's just a pain in the butt.
Well, you feel you're getting there, you're moving, stuff is happening.
Yeah, it's moving. It's moving. I work on it until I get super frustrated with it, and then I go and then I switch back and do something fun, and then I go and then I'll, you know, switch back.
I just go beat a small animal usually. Find a squirrel. I saw a bobcat the other day.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful animal.
We have what are those things called? It's not a lynx or mank?
Panther?
No. They're like not panther. They're like a cat, but they're a little bit bigger. They're like somewhere between a house cat and a dog size.
Isn't that kind of what one of those mountain bobcats are?
But they have like pointy. They have real
pointy ears. Yeah,
and they have spots.
I think that's a lynx.
Yeah, that sounds more like a lynx to me than a bobcat.
We have those around here every now. They're very rare, but one time every now and then you'll see one, and it freaks you out.
Yeah, the real pointy ears is the lynx and the bobcat. Although the one I saw was like had white fur. I don't know. Maybe it was escaped from somewhere.
Ooh, I don't know.
There's crazy people in the hill country, man. We have all kinds of weird pets.
Shoot it, and eat it.
That's right.
Smoke it.
My goodness. All right. 143. I think we've kind of done it for this episode. Steven, anything else to add?
No, I mean, I guess just get the word out, and man, the podcasters are the ones who are going to push this. They need to let their audiences know.
Right on, man. I appreciate it.
CurioCaster.com.
Yes, CurioCaster.com. Dave, do you want me to play any of these end of show things you have? I have not listened to them, of course.
One of them is just a cut down version of Kyle Hebert's. It's like a house ad. I cut it down to be nice.
Let me play it.
Chapters, transcripts, images, links, stream micropayments to the podcast, and send Satoshis in real time over the Lightning Network using a compatible Podcasting 2.0 app. Just go to newpodcastapps.com. That's newpodcastapps.com. And for more info, go to podcastindex.org. Boost!
Love it. Thanks to our special guest here in the boardroom today, Stephen Bell, CurioCaster.com, and fellow Texan. I did not know that we got to hang out, Stephen. I'll come down. I'll come down to San Antonio.
All right, let me know. We'll go get a beer.
Oh, for sure. Dave, my friend, on the other end, have yourself a great weekend.
Yeah, man. I'll just be packing for Podcast Movement and getting ready for that old
That's
old
right. Thing. That's right. Are you bringing t-shirts or just one for yourself?
Yeah. Oh, no, I got a whole box of them. So cool. Eric hooked me up, baby.
I love it. All right, yes. Eric, thank you very much.
If anybody wants to hook up and have beers or whatever at Podcast Movement, just shoot me an email, dave@podcastindex.org. I've already got, of course, a list of people that I'm meeting up with, but if anybody else wants to join us, let me know.
That's it. Podcasting 2.0, episode 48. We'll see you again next week with Dave coming live from Podcast Movement. Till then, take care. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Boost!
Boost!